1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs.
Stay up.
Oh, he got loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No way.
Tay. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Michael Bennett.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
Alright, alright, we're coming back in for another edition of the Scolders Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Brownmarkle. With me, as always, Mike Anderson. How we doing, Mike?
Doing alright.
A tough, tough loss on Thursday. Not much more you can say about it than that. But before we dig in a little bit on that, a couple surprises are on the league. So let's take a look at a couple things we want to point out here. Firstly, how about that Sunday night game? Or Sunday afternoon game. It felt like night game because it took so long. Tennessee over the Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee now with a couple of big wins against some, you know, obviously the former, or I guess defending Super Bowl champion, and also beating a team in Jacksonville that a lot of people in the national media like, and I know you and I like quite a bit as well. So, Tennessee is trying to stay a little bit healthy, and I mean, they've shown they've got playmakers that you know, can win football games.
Even with their 9-6 over the Jags, you know, tough fought victory. I wish I would have been able to watch that game. That must have been a fun one to watch. Defensive battle. Then 26-23 over the Eagles in overtime, the third overtime game of the day. Just this NFL this year is just absolutely nutty. We've had an overtime game in, I think, every single week so far.
Yeah.
Two ties, so I don't know. It's going to be an odd year, especially for standings now with a tie on each side of the aisle there. So Tennessee, I think we pegged these guys a couple years ago as a team to watch because they started amassing all these pieces, all these draft picks, all these defensive pieces, and I think they're finally starting to put it together, starting to get some quality wins under their belt. And you know what? Watch out, Jags. These guys might be fighting you for the division.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of remind me of that Teddy Bridgewater-led team, you know, with the infamous Blair Walsh miss, but just kind of a gritty team that really plays together well, and they stay in a lot of football games, and at the end of the day, if you've got a decent defense and you can keep it close, I mean, you just want to end up with a chance to put the ball into, you know, in their case, Mariota's hands. And give them a shot to go down and win it. So, you know, it'd be. I'm excited to watch them the rest of the way and see what they can do.
Yeah, definitely exciting. One thing I pegged at our preview show or prediction show, Pittsburgh is now 1-2-1 after their recent loss to the Ravens. What do you make of this group? Is this just Lev Bell? What's going on in Pittsburgh here, man?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think the loss of Bell, you know, is a big deal. I did just see here just that before we started recording that it looks like he's expected to report during the week 7 bye if he's not traded ahead of time. So I guess that doesn't make a lot of sense to me based on what he seems to be holding out for. So I'm not sure what, but it looked like from a verified source he's expected to report here in a couple weeks. I don't know. There's still a lot of talent there, and I think I wouldn't be shocked if all of a sudden they figure it out and rattle off, you know, 4 or 5 wins in a row, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, 7-2-1, and we're not talking about them as a bad football team anymore. But right. Certainly they need to figure it out, much like the Vikings, sooner than later.
Absolutely. No time like the present to figure that out.
Yeah.
Last little tidbit here. Fitzmagic becomes Fitztragic again against the Bears, yeah. And the Bears hang 48 on them.
Yeah. Obviously not all his fault, but certainly last week he threw quite a few interceptions. Granted, a lot of them were Treadwell-esque where they were off receivers' hands, whatever, but it appears that they had made a decision that they were going to move to Winston, and, you know, now they did. I think they got a bye this week, and then they already announced he's going to start coming back. But you never know. I don't think we've seen the last of Ryan Fitzpatrick this year. So
we'll find out, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll see him again.
But I tell you what, he gave us that awesome image of him with the chains and the sunglasses and just the beard and everything. You know, can't take that away from him. That's he was balling off for the first 3 weeks, but magic ran out on him. Anything else around the league that you want to talk about before we hop into the Vikings at the Rams?
I guess there wasn't too much this week. I thought it was interesting the Colts went for it in overtime on like their own, I think it was 40, like their I own think. 40. Yeah, yeah. So 4th and 4, Andrew Luck threw it kind of at the feet of the receiver, couldn't make the play. I think there was something like a minute left in the game, and then obviously they ended up losing the football game, and afterwards the coach and players all stood by that decision and said, we're here to win. We want to build an organization around winning, and just that's the mindset. And obviously the Colts are in a little bit of a rebuild. They do have some pieces there, and they'll probably win a couple football games this year, but I don't think anyone has them pegged as a Super Bowl contender or anything like that. So but that was kind of a unique situation. I hadn't really seen that anytime in the past, but obviously the new overtime rules, I think you might just start to see that a little bit more often.
Right, what more of a gutsy call, or maybe you're late in the season and you know what, half a win is just as good in your mind, you're thinking. I don't know, personally for me I'd rather take the half win, but you know what, you can't fault them. They know, like you said, they're in their kind of a rebuilding mode. They know they really aren't going to be super contenders, you know, so it's one of those things where it's just, you know, give it what you got. If you make a play, hey, that's inspiring for the players. If you don't, well, you know what, like you said, you're going to go for the win. You play to win the game, right?
Yep. No, but other than that, that's kind of what this week was.
Yeah, it's been a wild one so far, and we got one more game yet tonight. That should be also an explosive one, Kansas City at Denver. So we'll see what happens there. I need 6 points from Kelsey to win a fantasy matchup, so hopefully that'll pan out for me.
There you go.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, Vikings at Rams. Before we get into all the negatives here, because I think there's quite a few negatives in here, there's a couple positives. Positive number one, I think special teams is back on track.
Well, certainly for a game. Bailey looked the part. I mean, his first few kicks, I think one of them went off, his first kick went off the upright and in, and there was a couple that were kind of tight to the post, if you will, but I believe he was perfect on the night, so that was good. I think, you know, get some kicks under his belt here, and hopefully that's not a talking point for us any further this season.
Absolutely. It was good to see him kick, because as we mentioned, he didn't kick anything besides the one kickoff or the two kickoffs he did in Buffalo. So, not in Buffalo, versus Buffalo. So, yeah, good to see him finally get that. Like you said, that one bounced off the uprights. I'm not too concerned about that. You know, that's just him getting back on the rhythm and still went in, so still counts. A small boon we're going to get this week, though, is Kentrell Brothers is coming off of his 4-week suspension for substance violation. So he'll be back. He was a contributor last year on special teams, so maybe that gives the special teams an extra shot in the arm coming into Philadelphia. Anything specific you can think he brings beyond that? Because he's definitely not going to be starting linebacker.
Right. No, I mean, I think this, you nailed the special teams boost, and I mean, that's been a problem this year. So I would assume that he would probably come in right away and contribute, and hopefully, again, special teams becomes not a talking point every week, you know?
As it shouldn't be at this point. We should have what is supposed to be, you know, touted as one of the best special team coaches in the business. So we really should never have to talk about it.
Yep.
So I'm glad to get that off my plate as soon as possible. So let's be done with that. Hopefully Sherrills is going to be able to play after this long break. Rib injuries is often just about pain management, how much you can tolerate. It just said rib, so I don't know if he broke a rib, if he just bruised a rib. I'm assuming he probably broke a rib or two based on him being out the last couple weeks. So hopefully we get him back, because obviously in the Buffalo game at least, that was a pretty big missing piece of that is the experience on when to let it fly, when to actually do a fair catch, when to actually try to return it. So hopefully right. that's back. I don't think there's many punts, so that really wasn't an issue in the Rams game. I think there was a couple, like two or three punts max. So hopefully we can get him back, get him going back up to speed and get a couple nice returns, put our offenses in good position. Because you want to know what, Mike? This Kirk Cousins guy, he's a real deal.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying it since the signing, you know. So, I mean, you're not telling me anything I didn't already know.
Two out of four games he's put up performances like this. And you know what? The whole offense was just in a funk in that Buffalo game. So if this is the new norm to expect for Vikings fans, if we get rolling and then we can easily drop almost 40 on a team that's supposed to be as good as defense as the Rams are, I mean, you got to be feeling good about what this team looks like going forward if you can figure out what's wrong on defense. Because the talent's still there in defense. We'll get into that later. But Kirk's able to just drop points. We were able to keep pace with one of the highest scoring offenses so far this year. Anything else to note here than otherwise, you know, me just saying, can we extend them early again?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have anything to add. I mean, he's the real deal. It's a legitimate quarterback. And as you know, the NFL has shifted to much more of a passing league. So, it's going to be fun to watch with Thielen, Rudolph, Diggs, you know, the assumption that Dalvin Cook, you know, rejoins the offense at some point this year. And you know, it's just, it's fun to watch the offense. And ideally we get a defense that, starts to figure it out. And then, you know, I think a lot of us are sitting here seeing the different pieces come to play in various games, but we still haven't really put it all together. And I think that's frustrating. It's frustrating as a fan. So, you know, it's gotta be frustrating for Zimmer and all those players as well. But, I don't think we need any need to talk about the motivation for Sunday's game this week. So, you know, we'll see if we can put the whole package together Sunday.
Absolutely. So speaking of the defense, what the hell's going on, man?
I don't know. I mean, it's a problem right now. You know, roads are open. Barr is just, I don't know, Barr obviously gave up, I think, three passing touchdowns.
He's lower in the bar right now.
You know, and Goff, now let me, first and foremost, if we have any Rams fans that are listening, Goff made some unbelievable throws.
Nothing against Goff, man. He was...
No, I mean, we had a couple of them. We had good coverage. I mean, that back right corner of the end zone through double coverage was dropped in there. You know, Cooks on the play after Rhodes kicks the flag and comes out. I mean, that coverage wasn't that bad. Still, Cooks makes a nice diving grab. You know, there were some really great throws against us too. But, you know, that happened in the Philly game in the NFC Championship. It's like, you know, they just awesome throws. And I just think now it's almost like I'm starting to catch myself. Maybe I'm looking for, you know, excuses for these guys. And I don't know. It's become a weekly thing. And, you know, what we gave up, 38, we gave up 29 to Green Bay. We gave up 27 or whatever to Buffalo. You know, it's frustrating to watch your offense put up a lot of points, obviously with the exception of the Buffalo game, and only have one win to show for it right now.
Right, which you'd think coming into this year with the defense we had last year, you would think if the stat read that you were averaging 23 points a game, that you were sitting 3-1. And your losses to the Rams. Instead, we're sitting 1-2-1 with losses to Buffalo, the Rams, and a tie to Green Bay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, we're 1-2-1. That Green Bay tie is huge, especially when you want to talk about trying to win the division. But now you have a Bears team that's 3-1 out of nowhere. And you're starting to get to that. I mean, you're at the quarter point of the year. So this isn't baseball. This isn't 160 games. It's not NHL. It's not, you know, we're a quarter of the way through the season. And if this was a brutal first five games, we knew that. going in. So if this ends up hopefully being their worst stretch, that's not an issue. You know, they're trying to figure things out. And if we look back and we're like, man, it took a while to get up and running, fine. But right now, I think there's a legitimate concern for the defense.
Yep. Absolutely. But I mean, I just look at it this way. Last year, we were 2-2 at this time. Obviously, it's not every year you're going to rattle off 11-1 following 2-2 first four games. That's what we did last year. There's no reason why we couldn't this year. Obviously, the Philadelphia game is going to be huge, but they're not looking unbeatable right now. They got beat by the Titans in a lot of situations where I feel we're more capable of taking advantage of what we're seeing from Philadelphia. I think our offense should have a much better day than Tennessee had, based on what we have for weapons and a quarterback, right? So we came into this year looking at week 4 and week 5, and we knew that those were going to be a tough couple games. We knew we were going into Green Bay. That was going to be a tough game. So I think any outside fan looking through this, if we win in Philadelphia, we end up 2-2-1. I think you're pretty happy with that result.
Yeah, you have to go through the season and look at everything that's been happening. I mean, you've got the Everson situation, which in hindsight now, I think might have played a major role into that Buffalo game. You know, obviously he's a big locker room guy, a leader on the team, and the team certainly knew about the situation.
Right.
So, and I mean, know,
these are, we oftentimes forget, like, these are still human beings, right? If you have one of your best friends that you go to work with every day, right, and all of a sudden he's having an issue, you don't know what's going on, are you going to be 100% at work? If that's, you know, right, one of your best guys that you're constantly working on teams with? No, you're not going to be 100%. Your mind's going to be a little bit elsewhere. It's a human factor, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think there's just been a lot of things going on, and are we starting slower than I thought we would? But at the same time, I wanted to get through this. I felt if we got through this at 3-2, I was most likely going to be content and you know, feel comfortable moving forward. And can we get through it 3-2? No, but we can get through it 2-2-1, and that without a loss to Green Bay,
which is
and
huge.
It is huge because, you know, at the end of the day, we want those home playoff games, and you know, to do that, certainly you need to win a division. So I don't know. It's just I'm getting concerned. Like, where's the pressure? You know, that first week, I was just thrilled. I'm like, oh my god, we're gonna set records on, you know, pressures, and maybe we don't get them and sack them every time. But we're all over Jimmy G, and it seems like that was 2 seasons ago at this point, because I mean, Goff, I think we got him once, but for the most part, I felt like he just dropped back and was able to throw clean almost all game. You know,
right.
I don't know what you thought on that, but certainly felt like he had a lot of time.
Same thing. I mean, same thing with Green Bay. We just didn't really call that game, I think, adequately from a pressure standpoint. You didn't dial up blitzes when you needed to, and when you did, you didn't get home quick enough, and you let it go in the flats, right? So I'm right there with you, and part of this makes me think, like, he sat down, it's like Zimmer sat down with DeFilippo after he was hired and said, okay, how'd you beat us in the NFC Championship game? And then he holistically changed how he started calling things. Like, he started changing schematically what we've been doing well to kind of combat how we were attacked, not realizing that, like, 95% of the time, as long as we're disciplined in what we're doing, the way you call the games, say for the NFC Championship game, works just fine. So part of me thinks that there's something there where he adjusted how he was attacking teams, and it's just not panning out.
Right.
I don't know your thoughts on that. If you think it's pure schematically, or is it just players not playing up to what they should?
I don't know if it's, you know, you have a couple of new guys that are having to play. You've had guys that have had to come out for decent periods of time, whether it be Waynes, Rhodes, etc. I feel like we're so close to playing decent defense, but then it's like, okay, we need this last stop, and a guy gets free for, you know, whether Chris Ivory gets off on a 55-yard screen, or like I said, some of this coverage is, I mean, they're right there basically where it's almost like a 50-50 where the defender, if he puts his arm in the right spot, it hits his arm and it's incomplete, but it's not, it's fallen through this little crack and right into the receiver's arms and they're, you know, getting these plays. So I feel like it's a combination of things. I guess I am wondering why we haven't been trying to draw a little bit more pressure. Obviously the loss of Everson has something to do with that, but
You still got Barr, you still got Kendrick second blitz, you still got, you know, you got Waynes for corner blitzes, you got Harrison for your safety blitzes. Like,
I mean, Harrison, they're all there. Harrison that first game, I think defensive player of the week. You know,
make quiet sense.
Just, yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I'm at a loss for words from the defense. The offense is starting to turn into what I thought it was. Granted, Dalvin Cook is taking a little bit more time to get going than I would have thought. I'm not sure how much of that is schematic, how much of that is he's been having a nagging hamstring deal. I don't really know.
Well, but I'm pretty sure in the Rams game they still had him on a pitch count, so I think he's still trying to get back.
And I'm assuming he will be, you know, probably on that for a majority of the season, but we'll see.
The last thing on the defense that I'm really curious about is why did we even sign George Loka? I don't understand why he's not playing. Why is he not in there on some of these three safety packages? I mean, I get it. Curse is good, but you're not going to tell me with a straight face that Curse is better than Loka.
I don't know. I mean, it that's a deal where, you know, I just don't know. I would have thought that the first couple weeks, all right, you know, he needs a little bit of time to learn the playbook. Even though we had heard 80% of it, he knew just from his time with Zimmer in Cincinnati. So I don't think it's a situation where he doesn't know the playbook. We've also heard that the defense knows each other so well that they're able to, you know, check in and out of different coverages, different schemes, plays, etc. And maybe that's an issue. Maybe the rest of the team just doesn't feel comfortable with him and he's unable to pick up on those sorts of things. I'm not really sure.
Well, just to press on that for a second, I don't think that's true anymore because they're not really switching off into coverages correctly. Because you're not going to tell me Barr is going to be man up on Brandon Cooks twice. And that's the accurate way that they should be checking the coverage.
Well, but, you know, and again, some of that might have been McVay, you know, where they move a guy out, Barr comes out, and they're snapping that ball relatively quickly. And at that point, it's either you're calling a timeout or, or that is the situation. You know, and that's why, again, I want to give credit to the Rams. I think the Rams are a very good football team. I think they did some things to get us into bad situations. And, you know, at the end of the day, Goff made some really nice throws. And, what do you do?
I take nothing away from the Rams. I mean, McVay is a savant when it comes to calling offensive games. But he's not infallible. We held him to 7 points when they played here last year. So clearly, it can be done. I don't know. It's frustrating, like you said earlier. It's frustrating to deal with this after you put up number one defense in almost every category last year.
Right.
And then it just falls off into nothingness.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just as confused as, you know, probably most of our fans are. Don't really understand what's going on from a defensive side of things, and my only hope is that they do figure it out, because I think this offense is here to stay. You know, Thielen, Diggs, Rudolph, I mean, Thielen, Diggs had huge games. Cousins look great. It's just, if we can get that running game going a little bit as well, I think this team is going to put up 28 plus points a game, and that should be good enough to win with this defense.
All right, so in this 10-day mini-buy, what do the Vikings need to do, or what can they do to fix this defense?
I mean, I can't pinpoint, you know, I don't think it's any one thing, I guess, when I go and look at this. I think just make sure everyone's on the same page. I think we need to go in. Philadelphia, a team we just played, obviously, whatever that is, 5 games ago, You know, granted, DeFilippo gone. He's with us now. I think you talk to him. You go in. You've got extra days here. You really, really game plan. You have a rock solid game plan going in. You bring in that confidence. And at the end of the day, you know what? I don't know that it's in this, oh, we need to mix up what we're doing massively on defense. This is still the talent is there. We've seen this defense perform at a high level. I'm not at the point where I need to tear it down and kind of rebuild a little bit. So let's just, you know, let's kind of cover up a little bit. And ultimately, I think they know what's at stake this week, right? We were just talking before the show, 1-3-1 versus 2-2-1 is a pretty significant difference. So I don't know. What do you got? Any specific things you'd like to see done differently?
Yeah, I think you just gotta follow the KISS rule. Keep it simple, stupid. Like, don't get cute with this anymore. Just get back to basics. Get some confidence back in this defense. All right, yeah. I can only imagine this defense, like, what they must be thinking, because they've given up so many passing yards the past 3 weeks. It's ridiculous. Right. This week was literally the worst passing defense performance in Zimmer's history. Okay. History. His entire coaching career. Okay. That's how bad this was. This was bad. Bad. No, that's take nothing against the Rams. They're a good defense. They're a good offense, but we're better than that, and we should have been able to just slow them down just a tish more than that. So I think you got to get back to basics, just get back to what they're comfortable with. And hopefully from there, you can throw in maybe a couple of those exotic blitzes like he used to do and make Anthony Barr a feared entity again. Right? Right now, I don't think anybody's respecting Anthony Barr when he's coming on his double A-gap pressure. I don't think they're respecting any of our ends right now. They should, but they're not, because we're just not getting home, or the coverage breaks down quick enough to where they can, you know, chuck it out before they get sacked.
Right.
So keep it simple. Let's not overthink this, right? This is the Eagles. We've seen them before. We should know pretty close exactly what they're going to try to do. They're not going to change their offensive schemes just because they lost DeFilippo. So let's just keep it simple and attack them where we need to.
I guess one thing would be, I'd love to see us try to generate a little bit more pressure. And I know you go back to the basics, right? And that's what you do in all things in life when you're struggling with something, right? Whether it be, you know, bowling or, you know, just anything at all, you go back to the basics. All right, where do we start? And I get that there's an element of that they need to do, but I would also like to see maybe you need to add in a little bit of fun variety, you know, get Barr moving and doing some of these exotic things that we've been hearing about. We just haven't seen a ton of, so maybe get the guys a little, you know, get them a little excited from that sort of thing. And I realize that means taking a chance here or there, but I mean,
at this point, what do you got to lose?
Right. It's not working, whatever they're doing.
So maybe throw in their package where Barr's sitting there at right D end. Why not? Nickel package. Yeah. Put his hand on the dirt. Let's see. What does he got? And then you got throw in that triple safety look in the nickel package. Why not throw 6 DBs out there? Just let it fly. See what happens. You know?
Right.
Yep. I'm with you there. You know, I think a big part of getting back to basics and getting back on track is, I think you nailed it, is getting back to having fun out there. You're having fun, you're playing loose, or you're just putting that little extra effort in there, because players feed off each other, especially in this defense. Everyone feeds off each other. They're having your buddy's having a great game, Barr's having a great game. It just makes you want to work a little bit harder, right? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we're able to dial up. And, I mean, Zimmer's a good coach. Anyone that's calling for him to be fired at this point, I don't think you realize how good of a coach he is. All right, if he's unable to control this tailspin, then we can have that conversation. We're not there yet. The talent is still there. The players are still there. They're just not playing well. So this is going to be the test of Zimmer. How do you write this group? How do you get these guys back on track? Because it's entirely possible to do it. And you can do it quickly. These are all pro players.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I are in the same boat where we still have a lot of faith that this can be turned around. At the end of the day, you just went to what unanimously is the best team in football right now, probably in every single power ranking you can find. And you competed, you know, you went blow for blow. And at the end of the day, you had Cousins get the ball, you know, with a chance to potentially win the football game. And I think that there were some positives to take from that game. And did you win? No, that's the big thing at the end of the day. Sure. But have faith in Zim, I guess, you know, hashtag faith. If anybody can get the defense turned around, I think he's the guy that can do it. I mean, he's got the track record, right?
Yeah, I want no one else in charge of that redirection there. The only last point I'll make is maybe to mix it up, you give George Edwards play calling duty.
Yeah, and I saw you talk about that, and I just don't. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that.
It's another thing where you could throw in there and be like, okay, what I'm calling is not working. I'm just gonna take it out of my hands and be like, okay. You do it. I'm going to have override authority if I see something blatant. But you know what? He did a great job calling Dallas. What was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe you just let him try it and see how that goes. I don't know. There's so many different ways you could attack fixing this thing. Obviously, you can try to overcorrect, and you don't want that, because if you overcorrect, then you're just in the same spot. So I don't know, just another option out there where he's one of the last head coaches that is still calling a position group's play. So maybe that helps, maybe it doesn't. Maybe he wants to see it through, and I don't fault him for wanting to still call plays, because he's had to wait so long to get this opportunity. But at some point, I think he's got to give that up if he's going to be a successful coach for the next 5-10 years. I don't think he can manage that and manage the team as well.
Right,
but that's not a whole other podcast. I guess the last couple of things I want to touch on here is, one, O-line issues are still continuing. Now, you mentioned that you felt like this game was a bit better from a pass protection standpoint, but we're still failing on run blocking quite handily. I don't know. To me personally, I think they're calling the wrong type of runs. If you look at last year, our success came from a lot of these pulling type runs, these runs out to the edges, where Dalvin could really utilize his quick cut ability and his speed. We're not doing that as much. We're trying to go in between tackles, and we just don't have that push.
Right.
For whatever reason, we just don't have it this year. So I'd really like to see DeFilipp actually get some creative run plays going here and get Elflein doing what he was doing last year, because he was phenomenal in that kind of game last year.
Right.
So I think that's part of solving the rushing issues. Remmers, as a right tack or as a right guard, has surrendered, I think, the most pressures of a right guard in quite a long time for the Vikings. We've given up 29 pressures in the last 2 games apiece, most per week of any team. So there's still issues there. Okay. I don't know how we fix that besides chipping more with the tight ends and what have you. I don't know if Reef was fully healthy when he was playing. It wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't. But we got to fix that in a hurry as well, because we cannot be sitting there putting Kirk in that situation, because you see how it ends. You know, strip sack to ruin the game, or in Buffalo, strip sack on both offensive possessions to start the game, and all of a sudden we're down 17-0 before we even know what's happening.
Right. You know, I think, like I said, and I think that might have been before we were recording, I thought that the line looked improved this week. You know, Cousins a couple times made some nice moves to buy himself a little bit of extra time. But overall, I mean, you know, he threw up whatever we threw up, 31 points. Cousins had a nice day. Obviously when you're down that much in this kind of a shootout, and the Thielen and those guys were open, we ended up passing the ball a lot more. Yep. So, and you know, Green Bay, you're down X amount of points, whatever it was, 13, 14 points late, 17 points late, you got to pass the ball. So same thing, Buffalo, you're down 27-0 before a blink of an eye. You're going to have to pass the ball. So, some of the running problems, you know, I think we've just gotten ourselves into situations where it's either been a shootout or we've just been down so many points that, you know, ultimately our hands are probably a little bit tied.
Sure.
But I think Delvin will get it going. You know, obviously he's got a hamstring deal. I'm glad that we get a little bit longer time here. I don't know if he's going to play Sunday or not, but my hope would be that he's going to be available. And, you know, let's just hope that he can get healthy. And he's going to get going. I mean, I think I saw a stat that he's like second in a missed tackle percentage this year.
Right.
So, I mean, he's still got it. It's just we just got to get him going a little bit more, get him the ball in space. And I think DeFilippo is going to be just fine at doing that. You know, and kind of maybe making a focus of it a little bit more here in the very near future.
I would certainly hope so. And yeah, hopefully the O-line issues can be solved here with just a bit more experience, or maybe this week you shuffle a couple guys and see if you can maybe squeeze a little bit more talent out of what you got on the bench. I don't know. It's constantly a source of frustration for me with this team, is the O-line is always a work in progress. And you look at what the Rams did, they hit on a couple key free agents, and those guys played absolutely phenomenally well, especially last game, but this entire year, they've played phenomenally well. But you know what? They've had that success. We haven't necessarily, so we just got to work with what we got. But one last thing, though. I pointed this out in our preview show, the parallels with the Arizona game in 15. So we came off a 38-7 loss to the Seahawks, and then we lost by a score off of a strip sack. And Arizona went on to lose in the NFC Championship game. Does that mean that the LA Rams are going to go on to lose in the NFC Championship game? Well, I mean, I think that'd be obvious by now. Yeah.
Gosh. Sure.
I mean, everything that happened in the 15 game there, where it was a Sunday going into a Thursday night game, and then we lost by one possession off a strip sack after previously being embarrassed. I mean, it all lines up, Mike.
I mean, yeah, I don't see how anyone can argue against it, so.
Exactly. So, LA Rams fans, we're sorry to tell you that you're going to lose in the NFC Championship game. You're going to have a valiant season. I think you're going to get like the second seed or first seed somewhere in there. I forget what Arizona was. So, ripped your season already by week 4. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I like it.
Any last things here, Mike, to wrap up our Rams recap here?
No, I think if you had some sort of moral victory, we would get a point for that. I thought that they showed me at least a lot more than they did the week before at home. NFL is a weird, weird monster. When you look at how we played against the Rams on the road in a primetime game, and then you basically almost get shut out by the Bills at home. You know, it's hard to comprehend how those two things happen 4 days apart or whatever, 4 or 5 days apart from one another. So, I guess have faith still.
It's kind of like we said in the Buffalo recap, is, you know what, all we want to see on this Thursday game is the Vikings be supremely competitive. And we almost had a chance to win this game. Or we did have a chance to win this game, and then we got strip-sacked, right? So that to me shows us that this team isn't unfixable. And I never really thought it wasn't unfixable, but we're right there. We have the pieces. We just need to put them in the right order.
Right.
We have a vastly improved offense. I think last year, if we played this game, we'd probably lose 38-10, maybe 38-14. It's 'cause I don't think the offense was as high-powered as it is now. So,
right.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing, and I think like you said earlier in the show, as soon as we put all three phases together, this is going to be a very, very formidable team. So, you know what? Bring on the Bears when we play them here later in the season. Let's see what you got. Let's see if you can stop Kirk Cousins. Because hopefully by that time, you won't be able to.
Right. Great. No, I hope you're right.
Well, time will tell, I guess. I guess that's going to wrap it up for this. Skolders.com. That's where we're at. What's your Twitter handle, Mike?
Musky_Mike.
I'm at Namok7. At ScrollJersMN is our Twitter handle for the show here. We're on the Climb in the Pocket Network, so go over and listen to their stuff. They're putting out some great stuff. I think that'll do it. So stay tuned for our preview of Philadelphia. I'm sure that'll be a fun show. But anyway, Mike, Skol Vikes.
Skol.